Today we're going to be reading two passages. The first one comes from the Old Testament, Ezekiel. And we're going to read from Ezekiel chapter 34 from verse 7. But Ezekiel 34 verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I'll remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I'll rescue my flock from their mouths and will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I'll bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them into their own land. I'll pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
Can I get you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 10. So that was John 10, verses 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Well, we live in a time now where there's much irony. See, you are congratulated if you say you're spiritually searching, while you're condemned if you claim you've spiritually found. That's where our culture has got to. You're commended for being a spiritual searcher, always seeking truth, but it is unacceptable to say my searching has led me to find the truth. That claim is considered too narrow, too exclusive, too judgmental of others. And what makes it even worse is that for many is that the religious bastions of spiritual truth, moral truth, are being sent to jail for abusing their position, abusing children, from on high, claiming they have the truth, insisting on it on others, yet the hypocrisy, leaders who can't even live up to the basic standards set by others. This week, as we know, Cardinal George Pell was convicted of child abuse. It would seem that it's a big issue in the Roman Catholic Church, but I don't know of any denomination, including Presbyterian, where leaders have not been found out for criminal, predatory behaviour. you know, insisting on the truth for others, but really about despicably preying on others and serving themselves. It's been an interesting week. For many, it's been an unsettling week. Perhaps you've been in conversations with others about it. Perhaps it raises questions for you. It would be only right that it raises questions for you. But all I can do this morning is get us to look beyond leaders who make claims about God and go to the one who claims he was sent by his heavenly Father God, in fact is God. And Jesus, he makes the most exclusive claim of all. But he's the exact opposite of a self-serving. He is self-giving. Church leaders, religious leaders are known for their hypocrisy, their false promises, but not this one. This is the one and the only one we can really trust and believe in. Jesus doesn't want to take from you, he wants to give to you. Well, let's get into this. John chapter 10. And the story that Jesus tells is he calls it a figure of speech, verse 6. Has lots going on in it. And did you notice that when you read it, there's a sheep, there's a gate, there's a shepherd, there's thieves and robbers, there's a gatekeeper. Now, Jesus is drawing this visual picture from everyday Israelite life, because sheep and shepherding was as everyday for people as for us is, you know, cars at traffic lights. Just an everyday situation. But Jesus is mining the stuff of everyday life to say things about himself. Like when Jesus will say, at chapter 10, and this is actually next week, Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. Today we're going to be focusing on when Jesus says, verse 7, I am the gate. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. For Jesus to say he's the gate for the sheep, I think we can all get the general impression of this, but the way it worked in Jesus' time, the sheep enclosure was this low stone fenced area out in the fields for all the local shepherds. Now, it was a community sheep protection scheme, basically, because there were wolves and wild animals out there who like a bit of lamb for dinner. And for all those here who have chickens, you know, don't you, that there's foxes and there's cats and wild animals out there. I find with people who have chickens, always counting up the number of chickens they have right now, because they always seem to be getting nicked, because they're vulnerable. Well, people in Israel knew about wild animals, but they also knew about thieves and robbers who would like some lamb for dinner as well. So in Jesus' time, you have this protective wall. You have a gate, one way in, one way out. And you have a gatekeeper guarding the gate with his shotgun to protect the sheep. Well, not with a shotgun, but they're standing guard. So there in the morning, the shepherds would come and call out their sheep, and the sheep would go out through the gate, protected throughout the night, so they could be with the shepherd, enjoying their pasture through the day. Jesus says, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Now for Jesus to say he's the gate for the sheep, he's building on what he's already said, because he's already said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Big claims. And if you haven't heard them, go back and have a look at the talks from our previous Sundays. But Jesus is making a claim to be the one who will satisfy us and fill us and guide us and give us eternal life. But for Jesus to say he's the gate, he is making a statement that he's the sole way to find eternal life. It is a claim to exclusivity. I mean, that's how a gate works, right? You know, a gate, a door, you want to go in and out of a room at your place. Well, you don't try to move sort of next to the door. You move through the door. It's the one way. You know, I'm sure you've all seen this. You know, times when birds are flying around and they crash into a glass screen door that's closed. Smack. Dumb bird. There's no other way. In fact, dumb darn it, I've actually done it twice. I've actually walked through a glass screen door. My excuse is that the glass was way too clean. But, you know, that's how a door works. A gate works. That's the way. There's no other way. That's how you go through. But what does it mean that Jesus is the gate for the sheep? Well, a couple of things. He's the gate as opposed to standing against the religious leaders who claim they show the way to God. No, they don't show a way to God. Jesus is the way. Jesus has words for the religious leaders. Have a look, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Or have a look at verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The robbers, they want to bypass the gate. They want to sneak in without being noticed. They're predators. They steal and kill and destroy. They're in it for themselves. We know Jesus is talking about the religious leaders because all around this chapter, Jesus has been getting stuck into these Jewish religious leaders. Now, do you remember chapter 9 last week that Jesus cured a man born blind? Now, he can see. I mean, how good is that? That's a good thing. That's something that should be celebrated, right? But the religious leaders in their warped, twisted, self-serving way only see it as a bad thing. They're so grumpy about it. They're interrogating this man who was born blind but can now see. They're incensed that this man born blind has been healed by Jesus. They throw this healed man out of their synagogue, their church, and they want Jesus dead. Why? Because Jesus threatens their position. People follow Jesus instead of them. See, these religious leaders, they claim so much. They claim virtue, they claim morality, claim law keeping, claim representing God, but they do not go to the gate. Jesus, they're trying to climb in another way. They are thieves and they are robbers. In a week, there's been the spotlight put on a religious leader, and the spotlight really is put on all religious leaders. The reality is religious leaders can be in it for themselves. Now, before we read from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, see what that is. The sad truth is abusing the sheep of Israel was not a new phenomenon. See, you go back centuries before Jesus' promised arrival, the leaders of Israel weren't shepherds leading, guiding, feeding, comforting. They were tearing. They were ripping. They were self-serving. Did not care for the weak and the vulnerable. They were lining their own pockets. They were protecting their own position. And God's judgment came upon them and nothing has changed. Thieves and robbers. I'm very aware that I'm speaking to you as a church leader. Questions are being raised about church leaders. Here's the test for a church leader. Are they entering by the gate? That's got to be the basic question. Do they know Jesus? Are they about Jesus? Are they about pointing to Jesus? Are they celebrating Jesus? Are they wanting to know more of Jesus? Are they humble and wanting to be more like Jesus? Because you know what a thief and a robber is about. Themselves, their career, their advancement, their pay, their pleasure, their position to be of influence, their position to tell others how to live. I don't want to be a thief and a robber. I want to go to Jesus, the gate, who is the true life, who is the one where we will only find true life, and point you to the gate so that you would know true life. Jesus is the gate for the sheep. He's the way. Others will come in the name of God. They'll even hold up this book and they'll say this is precious and beautiful, but ultimately they are for them. They're not in it for Jesus. They're in it for themselves. Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. And by extension, if Jesus is the gate against all other thieves and robbers, Jesus is also a gate against anyone else who makes some claim that the gate can be found anywhere else. They're not the gate. See, Jesus is saying, I am the gate. Jesus stands opposed against all other truth tellers. No, Jesus says, you've got to come to him. All other ways, all other gates, all other religions are false gates. Now, a truth claim like that makes people very nervous in our culture. I'm spiritual searching, that's good. Good on you. I've spiritually found, just back off. But that's Jesus' claim. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The criticism that comes is that's too narrow, that's too exclusive. But that's a gate, right? And people will say, well, maybe there's many gates to the truth. Maybe the enclosure just doesn't have just one gate. Maybe there are many gates. Jesus just didn't know it, and Muhammad didn't know it, and Buddha didn't know it. Many doors, gates to God. Our culture's very keen to downplay that there's anyone who would make an absolute truth claim. But as soon as someone suggests there are many gates to God, you've actually conjured up somehow your own Western affluent philosophical truth claim. There are many ways to God. Well, how do you know that? That's your ultimate truth claim. How do you know that? To me, it sounds like wishful thinking, or to me, it actually sounds like lazy thinking to not examine the claims of religion, to not examine the claims of Jesus who said, I am the gate. You know, I want you to think about this. Jesus saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. To our ears, it might sound this narrow way. But I put it to you, when you know what Jesus is about, it's actually really open and broad. Not exclusive, but in a way, very, very inclusive. Why can I say that? Well, Jesus came to die for you. In John's gospel, Jesus will say, when you lift up the Son of Man, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He died in our place. And the way to God is not improving yourself. It's not following a moral code. It's not adhering to a system of religious duties. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is grace. I don't need to pass a moral, religious, philosophical test. Jesus died for me. I just believe in him. The difference between Jesus and every other religion is with religion, I will try to do better so that I might be saved. I'll strive, I will do so that I might be saved. With Jesus, and this is unique in all religions, you accept the gift of being saved. So then out of that, you work out what it means to follow Jesus as a thankful response to him. When you accept and know and believe that Jesus is the gate who saves you, not your moral religious performance that saves you, it actually makes for humility. Because salvation is a gift. And see, when you humbly accept that Jesus is the one who saves you, you don't compare yourself to others as if my culture, my upbringing, my family, my church, my morality, that I'm saved. No, it's a gift. And you stop looking down on others as if, you know, they live such messed up, rotten lives. Well, we realize who were we when we were saved? Salvation came as a gift. And only as a gift. So rather than creating exclusiveness, Jesus is the gate. It produces inclusiveness. Jesus is like no other religion. You know, I've done heaps of exams in my life, high school, university, Bible college, and there's always the pass mark, isn't there? You've got to make the grade. There's the pressure. There's always stress having to get the required marks. and results come in, and inevitably you compare yourself to others. I remember Kirsty and I did first year Bible college together, and the first essay came back and she whipped my butt, and I just couldn't help but look sideways. You know, you can feel terrible sometimes. They did better. Sometimes you might feel great because I did better than them. See, if your position with God depended on the grade you get in life, that would be a recipe for pride. I did it. It would be a recipe for feeling utterly crushed. Oh, I'll never make it. Either way, would be jostling for position. God, pick me. And then you'd have to work in, well, who's in, who's out? I'm better than them, more moral, more religious, exclusive, narrow, judgmental, crushing. I just hope you're seeing the point. If the way to religion is not ourselves, but Jesus on the cross, who paid the price for our sin, then it is the most inclusive, broadest, most gracious thing in the world. Jesus is the gate, the only gate. Come to him, believe in him. He is the way to be saved, the only way to be saved. But it's offered as a gift. And if Jesus is the gate, he's the way to life and life to the full. That's the point that Jesus is making, verse 9. Have a look there. Let's read it with me. Verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thieves come only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. This picture of God's people as God's sheep is common in the Bible. And so the place and the home for God's sheep is, well, it's good pasture. I don't know if you noticed there as we read Ezekiel before, and sheep eating grass might sound a bit boring. Grass, salad. Don't like salad? Is that eternal life? Now, having to eat my greens? No. Jesus is just giving us a picture of the good life. Having life and having it to the full. A land that flows with milk and honey. That's the Old Testament phrase. A good place. A satisfying place. A safe place. A land where the grass is always green. There's no other thing greener on the other side. This is the good place where you sit down in the shade by cool waters, where you rest. And it's the best life. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus is the gate, the only gate. Might seem narrow, but the life he gives is wide, it's open, it's full, it's a good place, a satisfying place, a safe place. And when Jesus has talked about thieves and robbers, those predators who want to destroy, it's good to know eternal life is satisfying and safe. We live in a world where hurt is done to us. I'm so sorry for the abuse that some people have faced, and you will know of people, I'm sure, who faced horrible abuse at home, even in the family, sometimes the workplace, terrible stuff, and sometimes it's been in church, robbers and thieves. But this is not Jesus. That's got nothing to do with Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus came to give life. And life to the full. Believe in him and receive life. Life to the full where you'll know love. Life where you'll always feel clean and accepted. Life where you'll never feel harassed. Life where you'll never feel guilty or condemned. Life where you'll never be depressed, anxious, or in pain again. I mean, there are so many things going on in our life that bind us and restrict us and frustrate us, isn't there? Like we are so constrained and frustrated in life, we feel it. But the life in Jesus that we enjoy forever is the opened up and full life, life to the full. There are robbers and thieves, but come to Jesus. He is the gate for the sheep. It is in Jesus that we will have life and life to the full. Let's pray. We're in praise of your grace and your mercy that Jesus would come and die on the cross for us to pay the price for our sin, that Jesus was the only way. And your way, and this way was just so merciful, so loving. Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Father, may we know, may we trust in this reality that Jesus is the gate, that in him there is life and life to the full. May we know this, may we find great hope and comfort in a world where there's thieves and there is robbers, where there are those who come to kill and destroy, that Jesus is the loving one, the merciful and gracious one. May we know that in Jesus, he is the gate, and in Jesus there is life. And in his name we pray. Amen.